Welcome to this episode in celebration of this International Open Access Week. My name is Helgi Sigurbjörnsson, and I am a librarian at the National and University Library of Iceland. Every year, university libraries in Iceland use this opportunity to talk about open access and bring awareness to it. This year's theme is Who Owns Our Knowledge? Today, we're joined by Markku Ronnila, a librarian at Helsinki University Library. He has an extensive knowledge on all things related to open access publishing and is currently a part of a group working to create a Nordic capacity hub for Diamond open access publishing.
So I would like to just welcome Markku Ronnila to our talk here on this little podcast. And maybe just to begin with, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm Markku Ronnila. I work in Helsinki University Library, which is by far the largest university library in Finland. There are four campuses here and thousands of researchers. I'm working with open publishing, so we deal with about 12,000 research articles per year. And I'm running an open access team. My official title is Leading Information Specialist. And I'm running an open access team when we offer a self-archiving service, and we try to self-archive, well, as many of research publications as we can per year. We are now in about 85% of all publications archived into our open repository, which is called HELDA. And I'm also running a team of three different publishing services. There is Helsinki University Press. Actually, I'm not running that, but I'm being the superior to these personnel. So it's a kind of full-on international open access publishing house. They offer copy editing, professional language checking and design and so on. So publish about four or five books per year. All of them are peer reviewed. And there is also another service which we called HELDA Open Books, which is a book monograph service that we publish books in our open access repository called HELDA. And there is no peer review or copy editing in these. So these are only for University of Helsinki researchers, and they can publish textbooks, collections, article collections, and also research monographs in whatever language they would like to have. So there is books in Sweden, for example, in Swedish, for example, whereas the Helsinki University Press is only in English. And also we have OGS hosting service. It's called Editory, and we have now about 10 journals there, of which not all are research journals. So there are some professional journals and one student journal. And we kind of give them the support that we can, and try to help them as well as we can. It can be applied for teaching purposes. For example, one can teach publishing practices there, how to submit to papers, how to do peer review. It has been done in a pilot project in one of our doctoral schools so far. So that's about it, I think.
And now we are in this Nordic Capacity Hub for Diamond Open Access initiative. And I was wondering how that fits into the broader Finnish open science landscape. Yeah, are there, for example, unique strengths or challenges in Finland's approach to Diamond's open access?
Well, there is, I think, a lot of strengths. One of is the federation of science and scientific societies. So there's a large federation which offers a OGS hosting service called Journal FI, and there is about 100 journals in there, and then also OMP books book platform, which includes now, and I think about 20 different organizations or publishers publishing open access books. So they have a very large service there. And this is for all scientific societies in Finland. So it's kind of national node in that sense. And it's an open access. So it's there are no fees for authors or readers. In addition, there is, of course, our service, OGS hosting, but it's very small compared to this journal FI. And then there are Research FI, which is a kind of national portal for open access, in the sense that they include different articles, open access articles from different organizations, from different universities and other organizations, which are imported there from the repositories and research systems of their organizations. And there's also scientific news, and then there is also some figures and information about open access in Finland. So it's a very nice way to see the situation in Finland and in kind of one site. And also there is a national coordination for open access called Open Science, and there are different work groups working all the time, which do these different kind of not rules really, but more like policies that that organizations are hope to follow in different things. For example, I'm now part of one working group which makes an updated version of journal articles, how they should be opened. And actually, one of the things that is under discussion next week will be the Diamond Open Access and how it should be supported. The challenges, of course, there are lots of challenges always with open science. So there are the read and publish deals. Most universities make use most of their money in getting these read and publish deals through our Finnelip consortium, and then as some other their own deals. And of course, there is a lot to be leveled in practices. For example, in scientific societies, journals, there is the kind of general level of expertise is not that great. There's always something to be improved upon.
Yes. We have these read and publish deals here in Iceland also, who are working on just a few of them. And it seems both, we always ask if the money allocated to these deals, if it's actually coming through, because not many scientists know about these deals as of yet. So, and they might not actually go to the publishers that have those deals. But it seems to me like for these national nodes or to be able to function quite well, you need to have a good overview and a skill set or knowledge on quite a wide variety of things in these things. You
Yeah,
need to have
sure.
the scientific view. You need to have the publisher's view and the librarian part of it. So is it a problem to get those people together and talk and to get some kind of cooperation between them? Or is everybody just ready to go and work with everybody else?
Well, it's. I think it depends on the organization support, because most of these people in these working groups are librarians or researchers or doing something else. So they have to have the support of the organizations that they can do will use their work time for this, because it takes sometimes a lot of time. I have been in different these work groups, and it's maybe even several meetings per week or something like that. And you need also to do some writing and so on. So it takes some, but there is actually a long tradition in Finland on open science, and it has been going on for a while. There was before this national coordination some kind of different enterprises towards that direction. So it's pretty established, I would say. The thing is that now people, when there are these different policies, are starting to ask in libraries that now that they are done, why should we, use our time for this anymore? So then, but of course they have to be updated every now and then. And then we are, the libraries and others are also kind of start to coordinate, because before people just went to these different work groups and nobody knew who was in what work group and so on. But now the libraries start to think that, okay, we have to kind of save these working hours a bit and try to think what is the use of them.
Exactly.
But there are a lot of people involved in these working groups anyway.
From your perspective, how has Finland's national policy on open science influenced the development of Diamond Open Access publishing?
Well, it has in Diamond Open Access, it isn't really very effective yet, because it's still a pretty new thing. So we are just thinking on how to react to that in a national level. So some universities, like University of Helsinki, has started to support it in one way or another, mostly through infrastructures, and there is the Ministry of Culture and Education is now giving grants for single Diamond Open Access journals through a call. But international level, there is not much ready yet in this respect. So, as I said, next week there will be a meeting where we start to discuss on how to support Diamond Open Access and what are the kind of recommendations at international level to do that. So, in general, I think the coordination has streamlined practices and helped to motivate efforts, because there are some organizations do not have an idea what to do, so they are giving them recommendations, and so they can follow these if they can. But actually, the most important thing in open science in Finland, as everywhere, is money, because the Ministry of Education and Culture gives rewards to every open article a certain sum of money. So of course that is why the organizations are trying to develop open access and self-archiving and so on, because every open publication brings money to the universities.
Like in Iceland, there is really no national policy on open access, but we need a national open access policy and even a Diamond Open Access policy here also. But that seems to be a long way coming, but hopefully one day it will come.
I think the national policy is very important in order to get the kind of government willing to support open access.
Actually, also just to establish why we are doing this thing in this work at all, because we
Yeah.
need to so be supported by some policies, I'd say. But now I'm asking about the Finnish national note. So could you describe how the Finnish national note collaborates?
I'm actually not really part of the Federation of the Learned Societies, but I know them because we have cooperated for a long time, so I can say something about it. So they have this journal FI service, which includes about 100 journals and a lot of books as well. And there is one a worker there who has been doing this for a long time and is very good at it, called Antti Jussi Nygård, and he is basically organizing courses for the editors of the journals, so he can inform them of how to use the OJ Open Journal Systems, this OJS platform, and the OMP, which is Open Monograph Press platform, and what are the technical challenges there, and if there are updates on how these updates affect the work. And I think he has organized regularly these different meetings for the editors, And that is actually the most important, because when you know how to use the platform, then you are actually ready to publish the journal, because the content of the journal, of course, is not something that is for the librarians or the supports to do. So that is to the app, to the editors. So there isn't much about outside of it. Of course, the service that we have, the editory, we organize also some. We have a mailing list where we inform of new updates and new plugins that can be used, and when the new journals editors are learning the platform, so we will give them a short introduction to it and so on. And we also have some written instructions. I think the Federation also has some of these, and we're doing some cooperation. For example, now last week I met these guys in Göttingen in a congress, and we agreed that we will try to translate the Diamond Open Access standard to Finnish. And there's also another instruction that we can add it at there, and then we can share this package to all the editors in the Journal FI and in our service.
But what do you see as the key infrastructural needs for Diamond Open Access publishing? Would it be just this service to the publishers, or would it be also maybe some conversation to with funders and stuff like that, or?
Yeah, the funders is a big challenge, because as far as I know, at least in Nordic countries, there are not much science funders supporting Diamond Open Access straight. There is, I guess, some in Switzerland, I think, and maybe in Germany, but not really Nordic countries. But most organizations in Finland, at least, are supporting infrastructure. So that would be actually the most important thing, because most journals and book publishers use the platforms of OGS and OMP by PKP, and so it's important to support PKP in their work. And also there is a large community around OGS, for example, because it's open source infrastructure. So there are a lot of bugs and different things that need to be done by common cooperation. So there also need to be staff who is ready and willing to learn about OGS and OMP, and who have the skills to maintain the platforms and update them and counsel the editors on how to use them. So that is important. But I think in Finland, actually, there is no others hostings than ourselves and the Federation. So this is something that should be in every university library in Finland, and some others as well, so they can create journals of their own. But I think in Finland, about 95 or 90% of all open journals are journals by scientific societies, so it's natural that they are in the Journal FI. So it may be that in small universities there is no need for a separate OGS hosting.
But how do you see the Nordic cooperation fitting, well, supporting this efforts?
Well, there is of course the multilingual things. For example, in Nordic countries there are lots of different languages, although Sweden, Norway, Norwegian, Danish, and Icelandic are closer to each other than Finnish. But anyway, so there is need to be some. For example, the Diamond Open Access standard for journals should be translated to different national languages, and also because there are lots of smaller service providers. For example, in Norway, I think there is something like four or five different things. So it could be useful to join forces and try to create a bigger services like the one in Finland, like Journal FI. So they can they are doing kind of work in different the same work in different places. So it could be useful to kind of join forces and use like the common instructions and so on, especially as they're in the same language, probably. So I think the kind of in the Nordic level, I can't see shared Nordic infrastructure in that sense because there's some language issues, but maybe there can be kind of Nordic infrastructure which supports, let's say, all the different languages in Nordic regions,
Yeah.
and maybe some other ones like Same or something a bit different.
Yeah.
And also there is the shared information and shared practices that can be used. For example, many people in Nordic countries doing the same work. So they can share the information and share the practices, and in that way, there can be time saved and resources saved as well.
I've been a little bit wondering about the OGIS system. Do you host it yourselves, or do you use PKP for that, or?
Yes, we have our own installation,
Yes.
and we have one person who is taking care of the installation, but unfortunately, he has lots of other things to do as well. So he doesn't have that much time to, let's say, learn how the new updates affect and so on and install them and so on.
Understand.
So we hope that we would have only one person doing especially OGS, but I don't think that will be possible.
Yeah. I sometimes wondered if that would be something that might be a shared thing from in the Nordic countries, if we had
Yes,
a
that would
host,
be.
like if it was hosted at a one
Yes, that would
together.
be actually a good idea. I think at least, well, at least if not, if that isn't possible, then at least there will be one who is a specialist in OGS and can help in technical problems, which let's face it, are not that rare.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So now, maybe just looking ahead, what would you consider to be a success story for the Nordic Capacity Hub for the Diamond Open Access? If, like, in 5 years from now, what would be a thing would say that we could say, yeah, okay, we've done a good job now.
Well, in kind of in a very large picture, I think the dream would be that there are less read and publish deals and more Diamond Open Access, because there is of course some Diamond Open Access right now, but it would be good that there would be support for it, more support for it, let's say science funders and the organizations, so they can the editors can get some recommendation of their work, because now they are mostly working for free doing these journals. For example, in Finland, this journal FI, most of the journals there receive a very little funding, so most researchers are doing that as a kind of pro bono thing and not getting any payments for that. Another thing would be, of course, that there would be very nice if there would be a more national Nordic nodes that really are offering kind of national services like Journal FI, I think. And also the values like multilingualism and inclusion of different Nordic ethnicities is important, because that is which makes us special compared to, let's say, Germany or some other European country. And of course, we should try to implement the Diamond Open Access standard and translate it to different Nordic countries so people are aware of it, because mostly n no one has heard about it. It is still a new thing.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a lot of things to do about concerning transparency, licenses, person identifiers, the kind of open access practices. Most researchers are not very knowledgeable about this, and they are the editors of most journals as well. But also, I think it's important to develop the diamond open access book publishing as well. So the practices concerning us just forming while we speak. So there is not much common understanding what the diamond open access book policies would be. But I think in 5 years there will be some informed recommendations for it. So there is a lot of work to do.
There is. Okay. So I think that's everything we need to know. And just thank you for this enlightening talk.
Yes, thank you. And good luck with your open policy.
Thank you.